Blog Talk Radio.
Praise Him, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know He's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Tuning in tonight on radio, those of you here on campus.
lesson. Well, I'm going to talk about the me first mentality, the me first mentality. Again, we thank you all for tuning in, watching radio broadcast, Wonders Word broadcast, Facebook Live, and to you here on campus tonight. We see you all coming in. We thank God for you. The me first mentality, I see Dr. Maxwell, God bless you, Pastor Cooper, Sister Twanda. We thank God for each and every one of you tuning in tonight. The me first mentality, that's something we want to deal with, show us how sometimes it can be helpful and sometimes it can be harmful, this me first mentality. Let's see, our key lesson is going to come from Luke chapter number 9, verses 57 through 62 is our key element verses as we deal with the me first mentality. The me first mentality, Luke chapter number 9, 57 through 62. And in this we find out, as Jesus went about his earthly ministry, people either wanted to follow him or they were invited by him. Yet some desired to do so on their own terms. You know, you got some folk that want to do things on their own. Their own terms, want to do it their way. Those that followed Jesus, either what they followed him voluntarily or he was invited them, they were invited. And some folk just wanted to just take it upon themselves and just say, we're going to do this thing our way. Let's go to verse number 57 as we enter into this. As a matter of fact, go up to verse number 51. We'll start right there on verse number 51. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to Samaritan villages and to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because what? He was on his way to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, they said, Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went on to another village. You know, you need to understand, first of all, not everybody going to accept you. We need to understand, everyone will not accept you. And I know Jesus had some boys. He had some boys on his side, you know, that was ready to go down, ride or die. Amen. He had some ride or die fellas with him. And they were like, should we call down fire to just burn them up? They was ready to take some folk out. You know, every now and then, you got to have somebody on your team that ain't afraid to come up. But see, you need somebody on your team that's not afraid and ready to do something, but then you got to have somebody that knows how to deal with certain things to what calm them down, put them back where they need to be. Amen. Jesus had all this on his side, but watch. Jesus replied, foxes have holes. Lord, I think I will let me back up. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, verse number 57, I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you. See, when people don't receive you, if they don't accept you in one place, go to another. It's right here in the text. Jesus is letting them know, you know, even though they did not accept me, you always ready to take them out. No, we're not going to take anybody out. But this that I'm giving, you got to want to get it. You have to want to receive this, what Jesus is giving to us. If you don't want to receive it, he said, look, I won't waste my time. I'll go somewhere else where there's going to be some folk hungry for his word. Amen. There's going to be some folk hungry for what I have, hungry for deliverance, hungry for miracles, hungry for blessings. So if you don't want it over here, he's trying to tell his boys, his disciples, look, if they don't receive you, go somewhere else because everyone will not be like them.
You won't go everywhere and everybody won't be exactly like them. You're going to find somebody that's going to receive what you have with open arms. They will welcome you. Watch. He said as they went to another village. Watch. As they were walking along, someone said, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Come on, come on. Look. Someone said, Jesus. From the New Living Translation, I will follow you wherever you go. Come on, you got to be careful what you say. You got to be careful. You know, we say, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll say. We say things and do things like that sometimes. Amen. And I want to say, sometimes we got to be careful what we say, because he said, Jesus said, someone, it didn't mean a pick out of individual, but it said someone, because that someone still could be you. Amen. Because we've always said, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. That someone, huh? That someone is us individually. We cried out. Someone said, I'll go wherever you go. But they didn't actually know where Jesus was going. Come on. The road that he was getting ready to travel and the road that he was traveling wasn't an easy road. Huh? So you're saying, I'll go wherever you go. Hey, you might not want to go. If you knew the road that he was going to have to travel, that he was traveling, somebody probably wouldn't say that. Well, you go ahead on, Jesus. I'll be right here. I'll go wherever you want me to go, because some things you're going to have to give up. Okay. Some things you're going to have to give up. You saying, I'll go wherever you go? Some people you're going to have to leave behind. You saying, I'll go wherever you go? Huh? There's some things you're going to have to give up. Some people you're going to have to leave behind. Watch what it says here. But Jesus replied, because he knows our hearts. He knows what we think before we even think it. He knows all about us. You know, he's saying, okay, I'll go wherever you want me to go, but look what he says. Foxes, what? Have holes. Birds have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You want to go where I'm going? In order for you to go where I'm going, you're going to have to do what I'm doing, what I'm getting ready to do. You want to go where I'm going? Are you ready to do what I'm getting ready to do? Foxes, they got holes. Birds have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you with me? He has nowhere to lay his head. Luke does not say whether the father is already dead or terminally ill. It seems like, watch this, it seems likely that the father were dead. Seems likely that the father were dead. The son, would have been fulfilling the burial duties. Jesus was saying that the true discipleship requires instant action. You want to follow me, it's going to require some instant action. Jesus did not teach the people to forsake responsibilities to family. But he often gave commands to the people in the light of their real motives. Yeah, some folks going to be with you, going to walk with you, going to talk with you. They got some motives behind everything. Because he said, come follow me. In verse 59, come follow me. If you say you want to go where I'm going, come on and follow me. What's your motive? What motive? Why do you really want to follow me? Why do you really want to go with me? Do you want to go with me because you've seen me performing miracles? You've seen me doing all of these things? Why do you really want to follow me? Why do you really want to come be with me? Look at what he says here. this man wanted to delay following Christ and was using his father as an excuse. Following Jesus has a cost. And each of us must be ready to serve, even when it requires sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. Then it's going to cost us to make some sacrifices. Are you with me? Are you here? It's going to take some sacrifices. Some of them don't want to sacrifice anything. Some people just want everything to be handed down to them. Deal with me first. Bless me first. Give it to me first. Come on. They want you to say, they want to take care of themselves first. It's going to cost something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost something. It's going to cost you doing up something. Watch this. The man agreed. But he said, Lord, first, let me return home to bury my father. Let me go home first. And I got something that I need to do. I got to bury my father. Look what it says right here. Let me go bury my father. Then when I go do that, then I'll follow you. When I bury him, I'll follow you. But what did Jesus turn around and say to him? Let the dead bury the dead. Bury your own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. You said, someone, as I said, someone in the crowd, watch this, Jesus knew who it was. Don't get it mistaken. He knew who said what. That's how he was able to deal with them individually. Oh, y'all missed that right there. You missed it. Because someone said, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. But first of all, I got to go bury my father. Now, you saying you want to follow me where I'm going, but now you come telling me that you got to go do something first. So, let the dead bury their own dead. You got some work to do. You said you'll follow me. In other words, you said you surrender unto me to do the work and the will of my Father. And that's proclaim the word of God. Preach the kingdom of God. This is what you're saying you want to do. How bad do you really want to do this? Because it seemed to me in the text that he really didn't want to do it as bad as he said he wanted to do it. Have we seen that before? Talking about, well, I want to come and do this here in the kingdom of God, but first of all, I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. But you're saying, Lord, I want to do this for you. But you're finding everything else to do. Amen. And you're putting God on hold. So what you're saying, this is more important than the word of God. This is more important to me you not know that the world will take care of his own? They will take care of their own. So what is he saying? If you don't have no direction, the folk don't have no direction, let them continue to bury themselves. Because they're not following this. They're not believing in this. Come on. So they're spiritually dead. In fact, they don't even come to the house of God.
Amen.
The Living Translation says, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Spiritually dead. They have no connection. See, I'll be glad when my glasses get here. I look smart still. Let's see. That's how they do it. They should be here this week, so I won't have to keep doing this. You know. I can see a little bit, and I can't see. See, I got some weaker ones where I can see y'all. I got some strong ones where I can see these words. Come on. When that prescription come, I'll be all right. Y'all say, Bishop, be all right. You'll be all right. But let's say, these people are not connected to Christ. They're non-believers, don't believe. So he's saying, let the dead, the spiritually dead, bury their own dead. You got work to do. There's people, lives, that need to be saved and delivered. So if you go and preach this gospel to them, then Jesus said, I can save them. I can bring salvation unto them. Then begin the delivery process. Come on. First of all, you have to go through the salvation process. That's first. You got to believe. You got to come through the salvation part first. Then the deliverance part come after. Because you won't get delivered if you don't believe. How can you get delivered from something if you don't believe? Come on. So now, if I understand the one that can help me, that can save me from all these things that I'm dealing with or what I'm going through, and when I begin to believe in him that he has the power to deliver me from it, when he has that power and I believe this, guess what? My deliverance process begins when I yield to the salvation process. See, a lot of times we try to jump to the deliverance side and we don't even know, understand the salvation side. It's a process. There's steps. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, that's a process. Come on. First of all, you got to what? Confess. I'm messed up. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I haven't always been right. I have an issue. I'm confessing what? With my mouth. About my issues, my problems. We're too busy trying to confess about somebody else's. So we never get delivered. We never get set free. Because we're too busy trying to confess somebody else's fault. We know all about our neighbor's problems, our neighbor's troubles. Oh, they doing this, they doing that. They're involved in this, they're involved in that. They got this issue, they have that issue. know more about somebody else than you know about your own self. Because you refuse to look at who you really are. If we understand the Bible, and the Bible is true, and I know it's right, even on our best, most holy, most righteous day, we are still nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. And when we understand that, we are particles from the dirt. We are dust. So if we are dust, if I'm dust, you're dust, guess what? We are all dusty. Come on. My dust ain't no worse than yours. It's still dust. Dust. From the particles of the dirt. The dust. But we try to act as though we are better, far greater than somebody else. Let me see. Another one said, look, he said, let the dead go bury the dead. Spiritually dead. Your duty is to go and to preach about the kingdom of God. You got to tell somebody that those preachers, you got to tell them that the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life. Tell them that he died. You got to tell them that he buried him. Tell them that he raised up again on Thursday. Tell them that he ascended up. He got up with all power in his hand. Tell them that he ascended up into heaven. And tell them that he's coming back again for a church without spot or wrinkle. Our job is to go and tell a dying world. Of the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, mama, dust is dust. Yeah, we are dusty, some dusty people. We coming up with all these excuses. The me first mentality. But look at what another one said. Another one said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me go say bye-bye to my family. Let me go to my family and tell my family, look, I'm about to go on this road trip. I'm about to go be gone for a while. You know, I may not see y'all for some time. You know, I got to go do some work. So before I go, what I need y'all to do, I need y'all to throw me a farewell party. Let me go first and say goodbye to my family, you know, because if I go and say goodbye, they're gonna load me up with some guilt. They're gonna give me all kinds of things for the journey. I can't go empty-handed, you know, come on over here. They're gonna say, well, we got to go and give you something. I know you're getting ready to go. Come on, because when I got ready to go into the military, I had me a pop. That's what we do. So get ready to graduate. Oh, come on, doctor. You have a party. Go and say, well, this is my last year. I got to go and say farewell to all your other classmates and let them know. So I'm having this party because I'm getting ready to go into the world and find out what this world is all about. He wanted to go and say goodbye to his family. But Jesus told him, watch this. Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Come on, you had an issue with your family. Y'all didn't see that one coming. I need to go say goodbye to my family, but you didn't like half of your family members. You the one talking about how they get on your nerves. You the one talking about how they always got you in a nervous wreck. Your blood pressure is up high. Now, you the one talking about how your family did you wrong and did you bad, but you got to go say goodbye to your family, but you come talking about you follow me. But because my family, for what they did to me, how they did you, how they treat you, they don't treat me right, and all of this and all of that. But now you got an opportunity for something greater, but now you want to go back to the hurt. You want to go back to the pain. Go back to the drama. You want to go back to the bitterness, the hatred. You want to go back to the jealousy. You want to go back to the very ones that don't even care about the ground that you walk on. They don't care if you got anything to eat. They don't care if you got a roof over your head. You want to go back to somebody that puts you in the situation where you're in right now. That's why Jesus turned around and said, since you want to go back to all of that, anyone put his hand to the plow and turn back is not fit for this. It's no end and out. It's no only being off again. You know how we are. Every now and then we go, okay, I'm going to follow you this time. But now, okay, I see something else back there that I want to go back and be a part of again. You know, I just can't get out of this flesh thing. It was only get that in that area right there. I can't get away from this flesh thing because I was having a ball out there in the world. In other words, you want to go tell your buddies, your mates, when you told me you want to go and hang out with them again, you know, you want to go and sit with them and do the things that got you in trouble the first time, got you in trouble the second time, got you in trouble the third, fourth time. You want to continue to go back to the place where you got messed up at. And Jesus is telling us, no one is fit for the kingdom if you keep going back. You keep going back. You want to stay where you are, and you talk about, you try, in other words, I'm trying to straddle the fence. I want to go with you, but I still want to hang out with these folk over here. Look like they have a good time every Friday night, so let me go and have one more Friday. Y'all remember when God had to send plagues and Pharaoh and say he just wanted one more night with the frogs. That's how we are. We just want one more night with the frogs. Let me just go right one more time. Say, look, you ain't fit. You're not fit for this. You're not ready for this. You don't want this. You're not serious about this. Turn right back around, child. I will go. I'm gonna go over here. Come on, go with me. And then guess what? You fall right behind them. Says you're not fit for the kingdom. You're not fit. Lord, I'll follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And you know what they're doing. Let me just get a little bit. Let me get the one tote. Just one tote. That's all. Just one pull. You know, let me get a little bit of that from a cataract. Come on. You're setting yourself up for failure when you keep going back. This me first mentality was fundamentally opposed to Jesus' concept of following him. Go up to verse number 23. Luke 9, 23. This me first mentality was fundamentally opposed to Jesus' concept of following him. Jesus, then he said to the crowd in verse 23 of chapter number 9 of Luke, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must first, watch what New Living Translation say. King James say, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. But look what the New Living Translation say. You must first turn from your selfish ways. You got to turn from your selfish way. Mm-hmm. You want to follow me. Something you got to do first if you want to come with me. Turn from your selfish way. Give up some stuff. In other words, give up yourself. Because it's not all about you. It's what you have. In other words, he's saying, leave that selfishness back here. I don't need that with me. I don't need you to bring that with me. Because this journey that I'm traveling, I don't have time to be fragile with you. Or handle you fragile. You got to be strong. Turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross. It's some stuff you gonna have to bear. That's why the hymnologist came out and said, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free?" No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. You have to bear your own cross. No cross, no crown. Some things you're going to have to carry. It was shown to us when Jesus had help bearing the cross. So there are some things we're going to have to carry ourselves. He could carry it. He was at the point of carrying it. He had no problem carrying it. But he showed us still there's some things you're going to have to help me carry. You say you follow me. You said you'll go wherever I go. In other words, those things that I find myself in, you're going to have to learn how to bear it up as well. You're going to have to learn how to deal with it as well. So why are you trying to give somebody else your cross? Are you trying to put your cross on somebody else's shoulder? Why is it that you're going to have to bear your cross? Said, take up your cross. Watch this. Take it up when? Daily. Because every day you're going to do something. That's going to cause you to handle that cross or to carry that cross. Daily. Got to pick this thing up daily. In other words, there's some things I have to crucify, some things I have to kill daily. In other words, and also when I'm picking my cross up daily, that's letting me know that every day I got issues, I got problems, I got trouble. I got something that I have to pick up. I'm not perfect. I'm not there. Because I'm still carrying this. And that's what we have to understand. This is a daily thing. Why don't we want to take up our cross daily? You eat daily. Just don't want to do it. Don't want to sacrifice. Don't want to serve. Don't want to commit. We don't want, it's not, it's not interesting. It's not lively. It's boring. But I have other things that we pick up daily in the world. There's some things we pick up daily. Because guess what? We enjoy it. It's enjoyable. The things of the world, they're enjoyable, so we pick them up daily. A liar gonna pick up a lie daily. Every day they're gonna come with a different lie. Because they love it, they like it. A thief gonna steal daily. Because they like it, enjoy it. People do what they love daily. They're on the schedule. This is what I do. So you take up cross and follow me. Take up the cross meant to carry one's own cross to the place of crucifixion. So when I take my cross up, I'm taking whatever is on my cross, this whatever this is, I'm taking it to crucify, no longer to have it in my life. This is about to be over with. There's some things we got to take up. You know, if you took something up yesterday, today you shouldn't have it. If you're taking up your cross daily, you should have conquered something yesterday, and today you should be trying to conquer something else. Every day we should be on assignment to conquer something. It's a process, as I told you earlier, it's a process, right? Huh? It's a process. Many Galileans had been killed that way by the Romans. They was killed, they was crucified on the cross, and Jesus would face it as well. With this word picture, Christ presented a clear and challenging description of the Christian life. Being his disciple means what? Putting aside selfish desires, shouldering one's cross every day, and following him. It was simple and yet so demanding. For the original 12, this meant literally suffering and death. You're going to have to suffer. For believers today, it means understanding what that we belong to him and that we live to serve his purpose. Just consider this. Do you think of your relationship with God primarily in terms of what's in it for you? Which is considerable, or in terms of what you can do for him? Are you willing to deny yourself and take up your cross? Are you willing to do it? To take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. Go to Luke chapter number 14. Because he requires some things. If you're going to follow him, he requires some things. Luke 14, 26. He requires some things. Let me start with verse 25. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and he said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and your mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. everybody wanted to follow him, but he said, it's something you're going to have to do.
Come on.
I'm talking about we got to send them to the doctor to get some medicine. I got your medicine. Old school had medicine. They had a remedy for some stuff. They did some things. And got us in track. Got us right. We got out of hand. They got us back. We gotta put these things on the back burner. Even our children, we can't put them before God. These my little angels. Look at my little angels. Look at my little babies. This is my heart. This is my life. This is I can't live without it. But some, come on. If the Bible is right and Jesus is talking, he says, look, you can't even put that before me. Yeah, we can't put the children before him. Brothers, sisters. Yes, even your own life. You can't put it before Jesus. Because if you do, otherwise you can't be my disciple. When you come in talking about it's all about you or thinking it's all about you, you can't be his disciple. You want the spotlight. You want everything on you. That's what happens. That's why it's a great downfall, even in churches, even in ministries, because people have put themselves before the Lord. They come in where it's all about them. To the extent some people actually think they're God. Right. Put yourself before the Lord. Church can't run without me. I'm a show. Y'all know what I say about that, right? When folk talk like that, you know I love it when people talk like that. When folks talk like that, oh, they ain't gonna get nothing done without me. Why? Just wait. If I ain't there, ain't nothing. Well, show me. Don't show up. Don't come. Don't come and see if the Lord's house stop operating. Because the Bible says in the word that I read around Matthew chapter number 16, around verse number 18, it says, upon this rock. There's nothing you can do to God's house, his church. You cannot destroy his church. And some folks think that they can. That it will not operate if you don't give part. If I'm gonna hold back my money so the church gonna go broke. What church? Now you might go broke. Because there are some things that you gonna end up spending on. Because you're trying to be smart with God. So stuff gonna start happening around your life. You're going to be trying to figure out, I just did this, now I got to spend it. Yeah, God knows how to have you lose what you're trying to hold on to. Amen. I see. Yeah, I'm trying to see what's going on over here tonight. Amen. You can't be his disciple. Want to compete. I heard you. Don't want to compete with each other. The problem is, I see your hand. The problem is the kingdom of God. As I say it all the time, we're comparing, complaining, and competing. Too much competing, comparing, and complaining in the house of God. And nothing is getting done. No souls are being won. Folk are not getting delivered because we're too busy trying to compare, compete, and we'll complain. Yes, ma'am.
Well, they don't get Jesus nothing, so he ain't getting nothing. See, that's why sometimes we got to know how to deal with certain things too. Huh? It said what? What are we giving Jesus? We sure enough ain't giving him 10%. Y'all already know I be ready at all times. I'm always on my P's and Q's. I'm always, in this life, you got to be prepared. Watch this. Even when people come with certain things and say certain things, certain remarks, us as the saints and the body of Christ, we have to be prepared and ready, to wear off some stuff. There are some things we can deal with to get the mindset of people thinking right. Huh? If we're on our game, as we say, we always, as a body of Christ, got to be on our game. We got to be alert. We got to be ready at all times. Because I could have used that, for example. I could have used that and said, okay, they ain't giving Jesus nothing, so guess what? He ain't going to get nothing. So if you don't, that's why you don't come to church. That's why you should come to church. Because what? Folks are not giving Jesus what he's due.
That's right.
Huh? Come on. Huh? So now I see your hand. So now what? We don't know. Not that they don't know. We don't know. So guess what? I can't really give you anything. But now, watch now. Since you've been for a while, you understand some things. And I understand when folk just coming in and not really knowing certain things and fall right in line with certain things. But now, since we know we've gotten some knowledge of Christ and know what to do, we ought to be ready to ward off some things. Huh? When things come our way, because we got some knowledge of the Word of God. Yes, ma'am. Come on. And see, that's what the enemy will do. When the enemy see you trying to make a difference, they see you, okay, look, hey, one thing about it, I'm trying. What are you doing?
All right.
What are you doing? I'm trying to get it right. Hey, I may fall again. The just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. I'm not saying that this will be the last time I fall. But I'm going to count it all joy when I fall into the dire of temptation. Because I know I'm getting something now that's going to help me not stay there long. That God will pull me out before he catches me. Or that thing catches up with me again. I count it all joy because I may fall, but look, he almost got me. You ain't gonna get me. God came and pulled. He came and saved me, pulled me up out of it. That's why I can count it all joy. See, y'all thought y'all had it. See, they thought they had it, but you gave them a good answer. You gave them a great response they wasn't ready for. They weren't ready for that one. Some things will take longer than others. another. Huh? And sometimes you got to learn something through the stage, through the process. So this time, if I'm really learning what I need to learn, now when I get to that point in my life, I know how to deal with it. But if I rush you through this thing, you're going to be right back out there again. Some things you just can't rush. Hmm? Are you with me? Huh? Yeah. I see y'all tonight, yeah. Some things you just cannot rush.
Amen.
Say, you're not my disciple. If you're going to love all these other stuff before me, your family, all this before me, you're not my disciple. Huh? Huh? Living in a culture that prays putting self first and then looking out for number one. It's easy for Christians to adopt this me first mentality. How do we adopt this me first mentality? In our attendance. We adopt this me first mentality in our attendance. We welcome you once again, those on our radio broadcast. Thank God for you for tuning in with us. Those of you tuning in Facebook Live, we thank God for you. We've heard that there have been some connection problems. People couldn't get on, and people been asking me, I don't know what's been happening, what's been going on, but we are grateful and thankful for you tuning in tonight and those of you here on campus. This me first mentality, we find it in our attendance, because the scripture revealed us in the value of assembling together as Christians. It's important. Go to Acts chapter number 2. It's important that we assemble together. It reveals an example to us. Come on. Come on. Acts chapter number 2. Verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. They came together. You got to be to the point of knowing how to come together. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You got to want to come get this teaching. Devote yourself to it. I'm not going to force it on you. They didn't force it. They was devoted to it. They wanted to learn. They wanted to be better. They wanted to know some stuff. You got to want to know some things. You got to want to be better. Some folks just don't want to be better. Like I told you Sunday, some folks, man, talking about, I don't have nobody to put me in the pool. Some folks just love where they are. They want to get in the pool and get healed. They wanted to stay right where they were. They enjoyed coming and fellowship among the brothers and sisters, sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper. They had a great time. They wasn't fighting over meals. They enjoyed what? Y'all with me? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Wanted the fellowship. They wanted to learn. They wanted to be up under somebody iron sharp as iron. They wanted to get sharp. And to sharing in meals. They love coming together, fellowshipping with meals and enjoying one another. Watch, they wasn't fussing and fighting on. Why ain't got none of my mama food that she cooked? Why they got more on their plate than I got on mine? Why I ain't got the good piece of the chicken? Why my rice dry? Why the pastor got all the good food on his table, man? We ain't got none of that on our table. They enjoyed sharing. Wasn't fighting, trying to see who's going to take more out than somebody else. They came watch to share it, not to take it. They came to share it, not to take it. Because if you know how to cook and you cooked it, you know how to cook you some more. So why you want to take back what you done cooked? Yeah. Come on, look. Try some of this. Man, try. They were sharing. Sharing things. Even the Lord's Supper. I was grateful. Glad to come take part of the Lord's Supper. I ain't gonna take that. Because you don't even understand it. And you're not trying to come get an understanding of it. If you feel you really got an understanding of it. And I know there's ways that we've been doing things. If we understand the Bible, different denominations do it different ways. Some say you can't do it if you ain't come and join the church. But if we understand the Bible, you confess and believe in doing it in remembrance of him. You can confess, believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus God raised you from the dead. You're partaking in remembrance of what he did for you. It's not saving you. But it's in remembrance. Yeah, you did more stuff. People do all kind of things. But you came to church. Come on, you came to church, but you talking about you what you did, and you ain't gonna play with him, but here you are sitting in here, but now you don't want to partake. And I understand when we start reading the word of God, he that eateth and drinketh damnation, unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body till he come. When you got something against for somebody, you ain't trying to get it right. That's what it means. You got something on your heart, you ain't trying to break that. You ain't getting it right with the Lord first. That's why he says, let a man examine himself. You got to examine yourself. Yes, ma'am. Even though them there. They know not what they do. Do it in remembrance. You really don't understand knowing what you're doing. You're putting your soul in jeopardy. You think you're hurting somebody. Come on, girl, get this revelation. Get it. You think you're hurting somebody, but you really don't know what you're doing. This is what he's saying on the cross. Look, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing with their soul. They don't know. They don't know that I'm the bomb in Gilead. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know that I can pull them out. This is what they're trying to do. Forgive them. They don't know. They think they're hurting me. But you're actually hurting yourself. You're hurting, destroying your soul to damnation. He's cared about your soul. Are y'all with me? He's caring about your soul. That's why we pray. Pray before we take supper. Lord, thank you. We got to know how to thank him. Get it right. In our attendance, we're too busy trying to stay away from where we need to be. We don't want to be around folk. We should be happy to come around the brothers and sisters in Christ. Go to Acts 20. Stay right there in Acts chapter 20. They're going to always go through something. If you don't know it by now, you're going to always go through something. Acts 20, verse 7. You're going to always go through something. So if that's stopping you from coming to the house of God, you ain't going to never make it. You'll never get here because you're always going to go through something. If you need to try to go through and come here, you can get and know how to handle what you're going through. You're going through, but you don't know how to handle it. You're still going through. Every time you turn around, I'm going through, I'm going through. That's because you don't know how to handle it because you're staying away from the knowledge of Christ. You got to come get it. Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we gather with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them. And since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. He was showing up preaching. And guess what? They were still there. Y'all missed that. He was teaching. He was talking to them. And he kept on talking. And next thing you know, it's midnight. You know, when you having a good time, when you got good conversation, your mind ain't on time. By the time you look at the time, you go, oh man, it's 12 o'clock already. We've been here 4 hours. Because you're enjoying it. The conversation is exciting. It's something that you're enjoying. You want to get so much of it. I don't want to miss anything. And you just enjoying the fellowship. I tell you how it is sometimes, you know, in my fraternity. The greatest fraternity on this side of Milky Way, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. My bros, you know, when we go out, just fellowshipping, we go in and we sitting in the restaurant eating and talking, and then we leave, get up, all right, we get ready to go, all right, getting ready to go. We get outside in the parking lot somewhere, and all of a sudden, the conversation starts all over again, and we standing out in the parking lot about another 2 more hours because we are enjoying the fellowship. We enjoy the fellowship. So in the conversation, by the time we know it, I'm like, oh, man, I got to go, man. I got to drive all the way to Hinesville. You know, everybody, y'all going around the corner, and, you know, we just talking about the groom. I got to go to Brunswick. We got to, y'all just said, look. But we don't mind because what? The fellowship and the friendship and the brotherhood is just so much, is there. We enjoy one another when we come around. We got something in common. Something in our heart. Brotherly love. We love one another. True love. Look, that's how it should be in the house of God. Come on, look. I get around some of my preacher friends, my pastor friends, and when we start talking, Pastor Sanders, he can tell you, when we start talking and we start getting in this word, we start feeding off each other, we see something in the text, and he come in and throw something in the text that he done seen in the text, and next thing you know, we done read about 4 or 5 sermons in one verse, and it's so exciting, and we like, man, I can't wait to preach this. I'm preaching this Sunday. You done help me because it's so exciting. We have something in common, and we love doing what we do. We love being together. It's a connection. Yes, ma'am.
Seeking whom he may devour.
To and fro. So he knows how to get you right in church. One moment you pray, the next moment. Where they do that at? How in the world can you be so much in the spirit one time at one moment and the next minute? So let the spirit of the dead bury the dead. Let me get this last one. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let me get this last one.
Thank you, Lord.
I went over. Yeah, I went over Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25. This is the last one. Hebrews 10, verse 25. This for all y'all folk that want to be home all the time. And say, I can get church at home. It's good for some folk that can't make it to the church. That's why we have this technology, TVs and all this stuff here. Some folk that can't make it to church, the sick and the shut in. Let me say that again. This good technology and all these TV shows and TV evangelists, all these things are good for what? The sick and the shut in, those that can't make it, to get them some church still. But those that got the activity and use of their limbs, that can make it into the house of God. Huh? This is what Hebrews 10:25 says to us. It let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You got to encourage people. Say, don't neglect the serving of us coming together. But we got to encourage one another. Come on, you got to encourage one another to come to the house. Come on, go to church. You can give God some praise for an hour and a half, 2 hours out of your day. You can worship Him. Come on, we ought to go bless the Lord today. Encourage those that's not here. You got to be encouragers. Hey, you show miss something. You show miss this anointing. You miss this word. God, and then guess what? How do you encourage them? See, a lot of folk can't encourage people because you don't get it.
Amen.
How do I encourage people to come together, to come and assembling together? I encourage them, those that have been, as we say, missing, hadn't been coming, hadn't been around. I encourage them by giving them what I got. Because now, once I get the word, it ought to be so exciting to me that I can go and encourage them through the word. This is what you missed today. Bishop Brewster told us this and this. You should be able to go and ramble everything that was said in the message. That you can go and encourage somebody next Sunday. Look, you got to be here next Tuesday. You got to be here. If you missed it, you can't miss this. I mean, you got to come here. And you show it by your excitement of how excited you are and what it did for you. But if you come, somebody ask you, well, what Bishop preaching about? What was the scripture? It was the Bible. It was something he said. But I know he showed us, start talking about folk, how they look at you crazy and all this and everything, but you can't even tell them the points. But you know something that caught your ear. He showed enough was telling them. He got them today. What about you? The word wasn't for you? Yes, ma'am.
My, look at God. Those are the things that the Lord will do. Amen. That was the great son he brought to church the other day, didn't he?
A lot of little baby preachers that's walking around here, that's leaving and not going home preaching. Look, they watch. I'm telling you, they watch, and they watch me. They come and sit up there and look, King, look, don't say nothing about his bishop. You know, he watch everything that I do, even to the point where he don't even want to wear shorts. He want to come in suits all the time. Bishop don't have his suit. Bishop ain't wear. He gonna wear a suit. He gonna wear a robe. This is what they're doing. Then he's coming back preaching. He's already what? Already saying what God has put in him. Yes, ma'am. There's an anointing in this place that folk really don't understand. There's an anointing that's in this place that folk really don't understand. Mm-hmm. But if we ever tap into it, if we ever get to the point of tapping into this anointing, I'm telling you, it will blow your mind. It will blow your mind. But we got to tap into it. So I tell people, this ain't nothing to play with. I'm serious. Ain't nothing to play with. When I stand before God's people, I'm ready. I'm ready, willing, serious. I'm ready to do my assignment, what God has told me to do, and I do it without hesitation. And this is what we have to be, is even in the pews. Because the anointing is in this place. And in truth, it's in this place. Got to. That's why we can come in and worship the way we worship. Because of what's hovering over us.
Last time I was doing it, I knew you. Last time I asked for.